You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Born on the mountaintop in Tennessee, greenest state in the land of the free, raised in the woods so's he knew every tree, killed him a bear when he was only three. Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier, fought single-handed through the Indian war, till the Creeks was whipped and peace was in store. And while he was handling this risky chore, made himself a legend forevermore. Davy, Davy Crockett, the man who don't know fear. He went off to Congress and he served a spell, mixing up the government and laws as well. Took over Washington, so we heard tell, and patched up the crack in the Liberty Bell. Davy, Davy Crockett, seeing his duty clear. When he'd come home, his politicking done, the Western March had just begun. So he packed his gear and his trusty gun, and lit out a grinning to follow the sun. Davy, Davy Crockett, head north west again.
Folks, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, I took my wife and children to Mississippi, Pontotoc, Mississippi, to visit the graves of my great-grandparents. And while I was there, as I wrote on our website this week, it was very rewarding for me to be able to explain to my son and daughter who these people were and why they are so especially loved. Love is truly what motivates us to take the actions that we do on this radio program. Love for our people, love for our heritage, love for our family, love for our ancestors. It's all about love. And just last week, we went on another day trip to Obion County, Tennessee, northwest Tennessee, Davy Crockett country. And I posted a summary about the life of Davy Crockett. And there's a reason I'm bringing this up. You're probably wondering, well, why are we talking about Davy Crockett tonight of all nights? Well, there's a reason, and I'm going to share it with you. But first, I'm going to give you a little historical background. And listen to this, folks, because this is what the biography of a real American hero reads like. Born on August 17, 1786, Davy Crockett is raised into frontier poverty with no education. He's often hired out to others for additional family income while still a child, and was once held against his will, escaping under the cover of a winter storm. In 1799, to avoid punishment from his father for being absent from school, Davy runs away for almost 3 years, making it as far as Baltimore before finally returning home. That sounds like you, Eddie.
Yeah, sure does.
So later on in life, and I'm not going to read the entire bio that we posted, but he gets married, has children, and in 1813, he enters the Creek War and serves 2 enlistments in General Andrew Jackson's army. In 1817, 4 years later, he, his wife, and 6 children moved to Lawrence County, Tennessee. He begins his political career as a justice of the peace, colonel and commandant of the 57th Tennessee Militia, and a representative to the state legislature. Crockett continues to rise in state politics and bear hunting. In 1825, he fails in his first attempt to win a seat in Congress. However, he wins his next bid, and in 1827, Crockett becomes a United States congressman, going on to serve 3 terms in Washington. He becomes a national celebrity during these years because of his unique backwoods oratory and expression. During the height of his congressional service, Davy Crockett severs his ties with Andrew Jackson and most of the Tennessee delegation over the issues of squatters' rights. In 1831, he loses the election to Congress, but then regains his seat in 1813 in spite of the opponent's gerrymandering of his district. Shortly thereafter, The Lion of the West, a theatrical play inspired by Crockett's fame, tours the country. In 1834, Crockett has become fully aligned with the opposing Whig Party and publishes his own life story, a narrative of the life of David Crockett of the state of Tennessee. By 1835, however, his political flame has waned, and he loses his reelection bid to a pro-Jackson candidate. Then comes one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard. He tells his constituents, "You go to hell and I'll go to Texas." Seeking financial and political rebound, he explores North Texas along the Red River before returning home. During the trip there, however, he is swept up by the recent tide for revolutionary change against Mexico and joins the army as a volunteer. I want you to think about that right there, folks. This man, a former United States congressman, a national celebrity, there's a play touring the country about his life. He joins as a volunteer to go and fight and die at the Alamo. And he does die there. In February 1836, he arrives in San Antonio, joins up with that small garrison. After a 13-day siege, the Mexicans storm the Alamo, and on March 6th of that year, every defender, including Crockett, is killed. Texas would soon, however, go on to win its independence using the sacrifices of the men at the Alamo as their rallying cry. So I got a picture of my wife, myself, my son and daughter standing in front of the Davy Crockett statue up there in Obion County, Tennessee. All right, so let's again stop there. A true American hero, a United States congressman going to fight as a volunteer in an army. Can you ever imagine that happen? Can you imagine any
General Forrest.
Any? Yeah, right. Nathan Bedford Forrest did the exact same thing. Now, he wasn't a congressman, but he was a millionaire. He was exempt from service in the war.
Joined
as a soldier of the lowest rank after giving away his fortune to fill the Confederate outfit. And, you know, he was born into poverty with no education, just like Crockett. Became very well educated. Became a self-made millionaire. A war hero. You know, so, of course, we've talked about Forrest and those exploits numerous times in recent weeks because of the current political climate. But here's Davy Crockett, you know, predating Forrest. Can you imagine anybody now, Eddie, in the United States Congress, you know, leaving to go and fight as a volunteer, you know, leaving to go and fight for no pay, as a you know, just a citizen soldier? Can you imagine anybody in the United States Congress doing what Davy Crockett did?
Not one single soul. You know, James, I hearken back to the videos of guys and generals. This was all predicted. Our people, our people degenerating into just, you know, spineless pods was predicted by Stonewall Jackson and a couple of the Confederate generals. They said that if the North lost the war, that our children would be educated by Northern school teachers writing Northern books. We would be reading those. Our schools would be dominated. Our banks, we would have a banking establishment that runs our government. You know, through the dumbing down process that Stonewall Jackson talked about, that school system went from producing people like Davy Crockett and the great General Stonewall and the great General Forrest to producing these spineless metrosexuals like
craven cowards. Yeah. Craven cowards. And we're going to give you an example. Now, here's the real reason.
That's your school system. What's producing
the
that?
The real reason we brought up Davy Crockett tonight was to draw a direct comparison. Now that you've got a summary of his life, who he was, what he was about, we're going to compare him to the governor of Maryland and what he has done this week. Stay tuned, folks. Eddie gave us this story, and we're going to let him sink his teeth into it right after this.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
So the reason we're talking about Davy Crockett, well, I mean, there's never an inappropriate time to talk about true American heroes. And we know that you're not getting legitimate and accurate history anywhere else. So we'll make that part of our program as well. But you know, Davy Crockett, and another thing, you know, people, I guess, don't know if you haven't looked into him. He killed 109 bears in one winter. I mean, that alone.
Boy, Peter would have a field day over that.
He had this quote, though, that we posted to the website. Be always sure you are right, then go ahead. What I think he's saying there is, excuse me, once you're sure of something, you have to take action. He was a man of action. But you won't find names like Davy Crockett in so-called history books anymore. But once upon a time, America produced legitimate heroes. And learning about and respecting our heroes is a responsibility that we should all take seriously. We must all vow together that they never be forgotten. And, you know, we can compare people like Crockett, a national celebrity, a United States congressman who went to fight as a volunteer at the Alamo. People like Crockett, Nathan Bedford Forrest, Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, who are basically now in the same camp as Hitler as far as the media is concerned. You know, George Washington, one of my very favorites, you know, Isham Harris. Isham Harris was the governor of Tennessee during the war between the states. This is the sitting governor of Tennessee, and he's going out and fighting at Shiloh.
Like a buck private.
Yeah. I mean, the governor of Tennessee, the sitting governor of Tennessee. And here's the thing about it. You know, we're ill-equipped to defend the memory of these noble men. I received a call from a colleague who also works in radio this week, and he was sharing with me the fact that he had reviewed the history book of his 10th grade daughter. This will be the history book that she's going to be using when they go into school next week or a couple of weeks from now. It's a Common Core history book. He said he'd put his right hand on the Bible, that this is no exaggeration. He said he went through the whole book. He said there is a single page summarizing the American Revolution and full chapters, plural, on the Civil Rights Movement.
James, that's exactly what Stonewall Jackson talked about. He said he described that. Did that man have foresight? He said that if the North won the war, that exact same thing would happen. He said these northern, these Zionist Christian haters would be developing textbooks. They would be educating our children, you know, without our control, without our whether or not we approved it or not. They would be teaching our children to hate us and hate their history. You know what? Stonewall was a visionary, along with the other Confederate generals.
Well, and I know you got to say something about Crockett before we move on entirely from that. But before you do, this will take me one more minute. Sure. You know, he said that, you know, he deprograms his daughter, but his daughter has to, you know, recite every black inventor.
Well, she failed.
You know, and she has to do projects. Well, if she gets out of there as the good Lord intended her to be, but you know, she does these projects. She can name all the black inventors, however many they are. Let's just say there's 50, you know, 60, whatever it is. Nothing in the history book about Thomas Edison. Nothing in the history book about the Wright brothers. You know, completely oblivious about, you know, figures of antiquity. All of the inventions, all of the creations, all of the advancements, the exploration, the discoveries that came from the hearts and minds of Europeans and European Americans, nothing. No heroes existed, according to this book, until the 1950s and 60s, when you had the malcontents who marched with King. You know, and you can say if you believe that was a righteous cause and that everything from that cause that stemmed from it turned out to be good. If you believe that, if you count them as heroes, compare the sacrifice that Rosa Parks made. She was inconvenienced after sitting on a bus. Compare that to Davy Crockett. But according to this history book, no heroes existed until the 50s and 60s. And then there was Harvey Milk. And then there was Bruce Jenner. Now, Bruce Jenner obviously isn't in this book, but this is pretty much it. That's it.
You know,
it's evil,
James.
Eddie.
Crockett
it's
and them,
evil.
They knew they were going to be killed. They knew they had no chance, and they did it anyway.
And that's why they're a hero, I mean, for one of the many reasons, but the biggest reason. But it is. And I will say this. It is evil, evil to do this to white children, to subject white children to these classes where they are.
It's only
okay.
Evil.
I don't have a problem
evil.
To celebrate the advancements made by other people of other races. That's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But while they're being taught that, they are also being taught in no uncertain terms to hate themselves, to hate their ancestors and everything their line and their people ever did. That's what's going on in schools today, and that's why you don't hear about Davy Crockett.
That's right out of the Karl Marx handbook. How Stonewall could know that, but what you just described was the evisceration, was the cutting of the spinal cord between the brain and the lower legs, so to speak. It's cutting the pipeline of history. These children, this friend of yours' daughter, for one thing, I would have taken her out of the school that day, you know, if I had to take her to work and educate her on my breaks. But they're, you know, Karl Marx said, before you can take over a generation, you have to destroy their history. You have to destroy the knowledge of their family roots. And once you do that, you can take them over. Something else that jumped out to me about when James was reading about Davy Crockett, and Sam and I, James, talked about it at a break. You notice he wasn't Davy Crockett when he was back home in Tennessee. He didn't lead no stinking United States Federal Army. He was a commander of a militia, brigade, whatever it was. Listen, I'm turning the Constitution right now. I'm going to read this. It'll take me maybe 60 seconds. This is what the Constitution is supposed to do. This is in Section 8 in the Constitution of the United States. The Congress is supposed to have declare war. Okay, I'm skipping down to also to raise and support armies, but no, turn to the page here, but no appropriations for money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years. We now have a standing army that goes back over 100 years. Get this also. The Congress, not they can or they should, they're duty bound by law. It says right here, to provide for the calling forth the militia, to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections and repel invasions. And get this. They are required by law, not only that, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia. To provide, get this, to provide, to get the money, to buy the beans, Band-Aids, bacon, and bullets. Okay, it's for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States. And get this, this is another reason they hate the militia. They hate the militia because although the Congress is duty-bound to raise the money for the supplying and the disciplining of the militia, all the officers are elected locally by the local people, the local men that are serving in that militia. I ask you people out there that say, oh, well, only the military and only the police should be armed. I ask you this. Would it be the same police in the Gestapo in Nazi Germany or the Cheka in the Soviet Union who outright murdered millions upon millions of Christians, white Christians, people in Europe? Or would it be yourself and your brother, your sons? Who do you think is going to be more responsible and more concerned about your family? A militia member who's your son when you're 70 years old, or your grandson in my case? Or who would be, who would take more interest in protecting your own mother? You as a sergeant in the militia of Shelby County, Tennessee, or some friggin' private from Fresno, California, who can't even read his own name? That's the whole idea here. We were talking about it in the break. We're never supposed to have a standing army. Thomas Jefferson said that a standing army was second only in danger to the United States' freedom as the bank, the banking system. And the reason I didn't mean to get off down a rabbit trail, but I'd like to point out to you, Davy Crockett was a member of the militia. He wasn't a member of the United States Army. That's another thing that Andrew, that Stonewall Jackson predicted. It's all come true. The guy was a soothsayer.
All right, folks, listen, when we come back, I'm finally going to make the parallel and the compare and contrast between Davy Crockett and the former governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley. Stay tuned for that, folks. Highlight of the show, maybe. Coming up right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we're talking about real heroes. Davy Crockett, United States Congressman, national celebrity, leaves it all to go fight as a volunteer at the Alamo against overwhelming odds. People like Nathan Bedford Forrest, who's been well documented on this show. I mean, you could, there's hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of examples we could draw from.
Ted Williams.
You know, Andrew Jackson, you know, who's under attack in the Democratic Party tonight. You know, look at what he did, the hero of the Battle of New Orleans. I mean, these were war heroes. These were people who risked something, who actually risked something. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, former Tennessee Governor Isham Harris, the sitting governor of Tennessee going and fighting in battle.
I'm
going to
say one
this.
Thing. Could you imagine if you go back in time and get one of these wieners, one of these spineless, gutless boobs? Could you imagine what would happen to them if they went to Davy Crockett's face and complained about that? You know, Davy Crockett would take a sword and split him in half.
Well,
I think nothing about it.
Listen, so here's the comparison. There's those examples, but specifically Crockett. Now, compare Crockett's sacrifice, an act of heroism, to one of his modern-day contemporaries. This is the former governor of the state of Maryland, Martin O'Malley. Now, he's at this – Eddie actually sent me this story. And I said, we got to cover that during your hour.
I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a joke.
Former governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley, is at this Democratic event. Bernie Sanders is there speaking. You know, he's running for president or whatever. And it's
a
Democratic event, an official event for the party. He's there as a speaker. Well, the event, all of the sudden, I don't know why they would interrupt a Bernie Sanders event, but whatever. It gets interrupted. And protesters come in from the so-called Black Lives Matter movement, and they start screaming in the room, interrupting the proceedings, screaming Black Lives Matter. It's at this conference of liberal activists in Phoenix. They storm the room. They're screaming. They're hollering. O'Malley responded to the protesters, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. That's what he said.
What could be more common sense than that?
Well,
statement.
He was trying to, you know, calm them down, shut them up. I think one of them, some overweight black woman, actually got on stage and took the mic from somebody's, you know, from the speaker's hand. You know, you should be arrested for that. But he was trying to calm down the insurgency and said, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. Well, he got attacked for that. That was to say that lives matter, I guess, other than communist black lives. That's some sort of a racist sin. So he gets attacked for saying all lives matter. He said all lives matter. Black, white, all lives matter. That's the exact quote. That's all he said. Former Democratic governor of Maryland. He gets attacked for that. And here is his response to the criticism that he sustained for having said all lives matter.
Let me get my barf bag before you do that.
Here's the direct quote from the former governor of Maryland. That was a mistake on my part, and I meant no disrespect. I did not mean to be insensitive in any way or communicate that I did not understand the tremendous passion, commitment, and feeling and depth of feeling that all of us should be attaching to this issue being the Black Lives Matter movement. He was then praised for his courage.
You know what? Ex-governor, you did offend people. You defended people like me and James and our listeners and all white people in the United States, and you defended anyone who has one shred of honor, because you know what? It is so obvious, you boob, that you have no honor. You have no common sense. You sat there, and what you did, you just de facto admitted that white lives mean nothing to you, and they really don't. No life means anything to you, you liar and you spineless boob. You know, you've just sat there and made yourself. You show that you, the only thing you care about is trying to get a stinking vote. You know, I can't imagine. I can't imagine the cowardice. That's the worst. That's the worst example of groveling I've ever seen in my life.
Apologizing for saying all lives matter.
The only thing he could do worse would be offer up his wife to the gang or something. It's, oh, take my wife, take my daughter. You know, like Lot did in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, that is the worst thing I've ever heard. I mean, my God, what you said, you idiot. Was that that whites don't matter to you? The only thing that matters to you is not being called a racist by some like James said. He was kind when he said she's overweight. Well, she must weigh 350. She weighs an ounce. You know, I've never seen a worse. That it's just strange common sense. And this guy, how in the hell he ever got elected to the position of governor?
Here's another thing. Now,
the public school system that Stonewall predicted produced this. Jellyfish.
Eddie, I love you. This is the Bombardier. This is why the Bombardier is on the staff.
Well,
is to
I
respond
love you too,
to stories like this. So this is, you know, O'Malley, obviously, you know,
our school system.
A name like O'Malley, he's white. But this is what we get. This is the best that we've got, obviously, because this is who rises to positions of absolute power. And I want to say that now
the people there put him in office. They're the same way. They kept him in office.
And how did these
years.
People get on the stage with a former governor anyway? You know he's got to have Secret Service protect that. What are they doing up there grabbing the microphone from him? And
they're going to make fun of us in the South and say we're uneducated. I'll tell you one thing. We may be uneducated compared to y'all up there. Thank God we are. But I'll tell you one thing. We here in the political cesspool, our listeners, we do still have this thing called honor, and we have integrity, and we have guts and courage, and we spit in the eye, and we have spit in the eye, and we'll continue to spit in the eye of the United States Congress and all these other government agencies that are on us. You know what, you government agencies out there? You go to hell. You know who I am, and you know where I live, and anytime you want to come and screw with me, you're more than welcome.
All right.
Let me calm down.
You feel better?
You know, this is a typical
the fact
guy.
Of the matter is, listen, we've broken no laws. We've advocated no illegalities. I mean, we are by the book, 5x5, down the line, at church every Sunday. We work
that's
with parent
right.
Texas, you know, and we're passionate about what we believe in.
We're not being intimidated.
That is what Eddie's saying. We're not going to be intimidated because we've done no wrong. Now, here's this former governor. I wonder if there's anybody Eddie hadn't condemned to hell tonight. But I got to say this. Eddie, I've got to say this.
Yeah, so, I got to reel it in.
And we're talking about Hell Michigan and Hell Norway, but respectively. But O'Malley and Senator Bernie Sanders were taking part in this presidential town hall meeting when, as the story reads, several dozen protesters interrupted the session demanding that they address recent cases of what they're calling brutality against African Americans by white police officers. Now,
I got to say this, too. So, go ahead. I'm sorry. You know what? I would ask you obese woman up on the stage. You know what? I heard a black commentator on radio not long ago. You go to your own stinking neighborhood. The black on black crime is what you should be concerned
about.
What
we're talking
about. For every black that's hurt by a white cop, there's 500 of them killed by your own people. But just like the black commentator said, you don't care about that. I heard the black man say that himself. You don't care about that. You don't care that there's 20 or 30 killed down here in the Orange Mound in Memphis every night because it's black on black. But you like a white person come down here and thump a cigarette out, hit a black in the head, then you're ready to release somebody because you know what it is? You despise white people. You hate white people. You come out of the room hating white people. It's in your blood. It's in your genetics. And that's what people don't like to hear, but I don't care. We're going to tell the truth here. That's just the way it is. You hate white people. You're the true racist. And you know what? The sad part of it is our politicians take advantage of that. They do what we've talked about here a thousand times. They split and divide and conquer, and they fight. We have us fighting against each other like these idiot boobs from the ex-governor and this idiot boob black woman is up there attacking the wrong person, the wrong people.
Tonight's divide and conquer comment by Eddie is dedicated to Christopher in Florida. He has a drinking game. Every time you say divide and conquer, he takes a hit.
Well, take one for me. We can't do it on the radio.
Listen, I look forward. I want to say this to Governor O'Malley. You know, Obama's got this new thing, this race database. This is another government program funded by your tax dollars, ladies and gentlemen. This race database has been compiled. Now the Obama administration can see suburbs that aren't fully integrated. Now this is where self-segregation is occurring or people are choosing to live There's segregated neighborhoods out there. If you didn't know that, folks, they still do exist.
Well, the White House, for one, we need more blacks in there. What's the hold up there? Why don't he get a? I got an idea. Why don't we get a busload of them to Orange Mound down here and ship them up there to Old Bammy? I wonder how he would like that. I would ship him. We should buy tents. Let's put tents out on the White House lawn. Let's fix it where he can't even get to the damn Marine One helicopter without having a bunch of stinking blacks out there from south from the Orange Mound, from down here Richmond Avenue where I grew up. Let's integrate the White House.
And this is why we need true black leadership. You know, like this guy who was murdered for being a conservative black defending the Confederate flag and the resistance to tyranny that flag symbolizes. You know, we do have black listeners. That shouldn't come as a surprise.
Yes, we do.
That should not.
They know we're not talking about
anyone.
Them.
We do have black listeners, and we're thankful for them. And we have Jewish listeners, and we've even got a black Jewish listener. We've got one, and he donates every quarter.
Well, listen, I gotta say one thing.
All right,
and I'll make this real quick. We have a flipper here in Memphis. Well, we're going to. I'll get this in there. Me and this black flipper. He's like Pastor, what's his name? Comes on Jesse Lee Peterson. Jesse Lee Peterson says, "I'm black as ice of space." This flipper friend of mine is black as ice of space. We gave a testimony in the middle of Beale Street. We said a prayer for each other as Christian brothers, and we don't do that because we sure as hell don't need any approval from anybody, from any black people. I just say that because we're supposed to be such haters, you know.
Well, there's truth.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, last segment of the night, and it's been a hot show. It's been a barn burner, as we believe that they always are. But, you know, make no mistake about it, and I'm going to say this once again, explicitly and in no uncertain terms, this is a pro-white show. This is a show that is here to defend the interests and advance the interests of white people. But I am thankful. Well, that's not to say that our interests are always, you know, in competition with the interests of other groups. You know, certainly not. But, I mean, we're not going to allow there to be the double standard that exists where you can be proud and take pride and advance your interests if you're anybody but white. I mean, we're white. We're going to stand up for the way God made us, as they all should. But, you know, we were talking in the break, you know, that guy that got murdered in Mississippi. I'd certainly rather sit down at his table and share a beer and share a meal with Anthony Irvey than a guy like O'Malley any day of the week.
Or Hillary Clinton.
You know, absolutely. And that's, you know, again, it all goes without
Charles
saying.
Schumer.
It's a pro-white show. But we've got listeners of other races, and we're thankful for them. We got a text from our a friend of ours who was down here, a Puerto Rican a guy who was down here for our team anniversary.
I remember him.
But I do want to say this to Governor O'Malley. I look forward. Obama's got this new thing, this race database that's identifying neighborhoods throughout the country that are still segregated or not appropriately diverse to his likings. And I look forward, and this is directed to people like O'Malley. I look forward to that program being fully implemented into the swanky upper class suburbs, which is full of these rich white people who find it profitable and pleasurable to be oh so civil righteous by supporting with their lips policies inflicted on working class and middle class whites that these rich traitor sellouts like Governor O'Malley would never in a thousand years want to have to experience for themselves. It pleases me to think that if it goes according to Obama's plan, that his policies will be implemented in the neighborhoods of the people like those 50 directors of the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce who voted unanimously to demand that their ancestors' flag be taken down in Columbia. An event witnessed by thousands of cheering and gloating and vicious blacks. You know, I want those 50 directors of the Chamber of Commerce and their spouses and their children and their grandchildren to live and interact with the people whom Obama wants to settle among them. You know, I wish for them an education by trial to the fullest extent of the Apostle Paul's vision. Only then will they become who they are. And I'll tell you, this ties right into that. It's getting hot, and people are defending their family. You know, we talked about the kid in Denton, Texas.
You know, James, I've got to say this about you. And you said this. If James has said this once, I've heard him say it at least 150 times. One of the things James admires about the black people, and I do too, is their love for their own people. They are more cohesive.
Yeah, but I'll tell you.
More cohesive.
It is. You know,
and see, we should be the same way.
I'll tell you, there's a difference between love motivations that take place. Now, they right. certainly have an identity, and they identify as who they are, as we all should.
I say so much love.
But, you know, with us, it's certainly love. Because you don't see us going down and trying to dig up the bones of Martin Luther King. I don't even know where he's buried. I don't care. You know, you don't see us trying to do all of these vicious and vile, satanic, sinful
right.
things. You know, well, so I think a lot of it with this crowd that we're seeing is motivated by hatred. I mean, that goes beyond pride and who you are and celebrating who you are, as we all should. You know,
that's true.
This is, you know, what we do is motivated by love. Some of that's motivated by hatred, but they do have a self-identification system.
I just wish we had more. I just wish our people had more of self-identification.
Well, that's what we're working for here. But we had here in Denton, Texas, this monument, this Confederate monument in this small town. They go up in huge block stencil letters, write, "This is racist," all over this huge arch monument dedicated to the Confederate dead of Denton, Texas.
Yeah, the huge block letters were racist to put those on there. I agree.
You've got a resident. He's an Oklahoma State student, but he's a Denton, Texas local. Stephen Passarelio. He's there with an AR-15 to defend the monument. Not breaking any laws, but I'll tell you. We got to go to a caller in Alaska. That'll be our last trick for the night. But, you know, I always knew I had Confederate ancestors. I have taken the time to research my lineage. over the course of the last couple of weeks. And in addition to the one that I knew that fought at Shiloh, there are many more throughout the different strands of my family. And I found out that my great-grandmother, I'm trying to go back however many greats this would be. This would be my paternal grandmother's mother, her great-grandfather.
Three
also
or
four. It would be three greats for me, but it's my great-grandmother's grandfather. He fought, and so did three of his brothers. The whole family went out and fought. And then there was another one on the other grandmother, her great-grandfather fought. We found his grave, and his name was Levi Smith. And
Bible name.
I found the grave in Corinth, Mississippi. Now, he lived through the war. He died in 1906. He had a Confederate pension, and we got all the documents. Many Confederate veterans in my family, come to find out. But you go back to what was happening in Memphis here, what was happening in Texas, and this is what they don't understand. It's personal, and I've talked about that before. It's personal. This guy in Oklahoma, this Oklahoma State student who lived in Texas, he was defending the monument that was erected honoring his loved ones. If I had stumbled upon this grave in Corinth of my great-great-great-grandfather and I saw some agitator, some thug, trying to dig him up, you know, spray painting his grave, they'd be moved. You know, I'm just going to say that. They would be moved. The police would be called. They would be, you know, you can't let that stand. You can let a lot stand. Folks, when they're vandalizing the graves and the monuments of your ancestors, if you don't stand up for that, you might as well just commit suicide. I mean that.
You're so right.
But anyway, so, and this is what, you know, and that goes back to Tom's call earlier in the night. That the audacity, the hatred of the New York Times to say that all of these monuments that were erected by the children of the Confederate veterans were erected only to serve as tools to terrorize blacks. You don't think that they were proud of these people? You don't think that they erected these monuments because they loved them and they honored the sacrifice that they made? You know, you're talking about, you know, the case of my ancestors, you're talking about dirt poor farmers. You know, my great-grandfather was a woodcutter. You know, all of these people were sharecroppers. My grandparents, I'm not even talking about my War Between the States ancestors. My immediate grandparents, the parents of my parents, all were sharecroppers.
Same
here.
They
all picked cotton right along with the blacks. And you think those types of people, dirt poor farmers, you know, went up against the most powerful military force in the world to preserve the right of 1% of Southerners to own slaves? I mean, it doesn't even begin to make sense. You think they erected those monuments to terrorize blacks? I mean, it is so stupid. It's so nonsensical. It just makes me sick. But we got to go to Chris in Alaska.
You're right on the money. You were hitting all cylinders, son. And the only bad thing about the celebration we had, I'm going to make this fast so Chris can come out. We should have had 30,000
people.
Well,
we might
from
have
Memphis.
Had a lot more if the Department of Homeland Security.
A lot of our people
us.
Came from out of town.
Well, a lot of them came from out of town. So we should have had a lot more if we could have promoted it, but it got, you know, we were told not to promote it. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, I guess you could violate it. You could go against the order and run the risk of having the whole thing shut down.
Yeah.
But let's go to Chris very quickly. We've only got 2 minutes left in the – and I was proud of 500. Hey, 500 is one of the biggest they've had.
You've got that right.
You know, total. Chris, I'm so sorry for keeping you waiting. We have about a minute left. Go, brother.
All right. Real quick, there's a piece on Amron right now called What is a Cuckservative? And that is a cuckolded conservative. These people – would prefer that their country be destroyed. They would rather be cuckolded by diversity, by perversity, and by the left than admit that white people have interests, that white people, the Southerners, have a distinct interest. They would rather see the great-great-great-grandchildren of Stonewall Jackson be Mexican than admit that Stonewall Jackson was a hero. And that is God's honest truth. The national views and the mainstream conservative right would rather that this country be destroyed than defended.
Cuckservative is the new word. It is a wholly appropriate meme, and I love it. It's catchy. It really says it all. I mean, it really, in a single word, defines exactly the character of these people, their lack of any – modicum of integrity. I thank you, Chris, for calling in and bringing that word back up. Keith mentioned it earlier in the show. We'll do an article about it. That's a new vocabulary word that everybody needs to commit to memory. That's what the Bill Kristol's are. Well, he's more than that. I mean, he's a neoconservative Trotsky.
Kind of like Judeo-Christian.
We're talking about, right, these people like O'Malley. I mean, that would be, well, he's not, I guess he's you know who we're talking about, folks. I mean, you know we're talking about these
the
Republicans
Judeo-Christian
that go out.
Crowd.
Conservatives. That's right. That's what they are. I would apply that to O'Malley, but I don't guess he's a conservative of any stripe. I mean, he's a liberal Democrat. But, yeah, it's a word that we will define at length. Thank you for the call, Chris, all the way up there in Alaska.
We love moose hunting with Chris.
Hey, we love you, folks. We do love our audience. Thank you so much for the support, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
To keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.